Well, welcome everybody. Week 6 of our live stream. I can't believe it's been 6 weeks. So when we started doing this 6 weeks ago, we did it live here in this room for a couple of weeks, and then we went to recording it earlier in the week and then putting it up as if it was live on Sunday morning. That way we could do some good editing and put some graphics in and all that. Well, we tried that this week, and as we were doing the final cut yesterday, the computer crashed, so we are actually back with you again live today. We are in our Marshfield building recording this, so wherever you are, we just want to say a huge, huge welcome. I just want to mention a big thank you to all of you that have continued to give. Some are mailing in their checks, some are going online and donating, so thank you for your faithfulness during this time. We've loved all the videos that you've sent in of your kids. We wanted to do a little slideshow today. We had it all ready for the edited version of today's broadcast, but we're putting a little slideshow of all your kids on Easter. So keep sending them in this week. We're going to try to put those up at the beginning of the broadcast next week. So send in those pics. What great pics. Kids drawing a cross out of chalk on their driveway and just some really, really fun stuff. So one of the guys, we have people watching from all over the place now, right? And one of the guys who's watching us from Nashville, he said, you got to get rid of the plant behind you. He said, it looks like something's growing out of your head. So it's still growing out of my head, in case you're wondering back there. So it's just been it's been a lot of fun. We've tried to have some fun during this period of isolation. We had a lady in the church who had a 40th birthday party yesterday, and we did a parade by her house in cars and hung signs out the side, happy 40th. You know you're getting old when kids you had in your youth group back in the day are now 40, and they have kids. So after that, we all got out of our cars and had a snowball fight. Yes, on April 18th or 19th, whatever day it was yesterday, we had a snowball fight. So for all of you people in the South, we actually had snow yesterday. So God bless you for being able to sit out in the sun. We may get to do that in a few months. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. I read this portion of scripture this week, and it just meant so much to me. This is actually my second time preaching it, because we preached it earlier in the week for our edited version. So you're getting the live version second time around. But when I read this portion of scripture, it meant so much to me, and I pray that it ministers to you. Here's what I think. God must have known that I needed to hear it twice. So as I'm doing it and going through it, I'm hearing it for the second time. So Jeremiah chapter 17, the first part doesn't start off so good, but the second part is pretty good. So here we go. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 5, we'll read down through verse 8. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends upon flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Okay, so that's not very encouraging so far, right? But watch the next part of it. Look at verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So a little bit of history, just a little bit of background for you. Jeremiah is speaking to the southern kingdom of Judah. You might remember that after the death of Solomon, David's son, that the kingdom was divided into two, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. So Jeremiah is writing to the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, the southern kingdom had already seen the northern kingdom fall. They had fallen because they had forsaken God. They rebelled against him, and they promoted every kind of evil practice. So Judah had seen what happened to Israel, but still refused to change their ways. So God calls Jeremiah, the prophet, to speak to them and encourage them to change, to make better choices so that the blessing of God would come their way. So Jeremiah is writing to them and saying, look it, if you want the blessing of God, here's what you have to do. I think all of us want the blessing of God, the blessing and favor of God on our lives. But it often requires choices, changing choices. Legendary basketball coach John Wooden said, there's a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. So Jeremiah contrasts two kinds of people here in the text. First, he talks about the cursed person, and then he talks about the blessed person, the person who puts their hope and their trust in God. Now, this might seem like an obscure passage, you know, contrasting those who live under the blessing of God and those who don't live under the blessing of God. But really, we see it all through Scripture. We can go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, right in the beginning where God said, look, if you do these things, you will be blessed in everything you do. You'll be blessed in the city, in the country. In other words, geography doesn't matter if the blessing of God is on you. We also see it in Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. We see it in the beginning, we see it in the end. Malachi contrasts the cursed person and the blessed person. So let's look at this blessed person, because I want to focus on this person, because this is the portion of Scripture that grabbed me. So I want to read this from the Living Bible. It says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and his confidence. He's like a tree planted upon along a riverbank, with its roots reaching deep into the water, a tree not bothered by the heat, nor worried by long months of drought. Its leaves stay green, and it goes right on producing all its luscious fruit. So, who is the blessed man? We all want to be blessed of God. Who is that person? He says here, it is the person who, it says, the Lord is his hope and his confidence. What that means is that he puts all of the weight of his hope and his confidence in the Lord. We don't put it in academic success. Why? Because it was the Lord who gave us the mind to have academic success. Even if we have great financial prowess, we don't put our faith and our hope and our confidence in that. We put it on the Lord who gives the power to get wealth. Even if we've achieved a great amount of security from the world's point of view, we don't trust in that because that can be gone in a flash. Who would have guessed that just 6 weeks ago, most of us were employed and now so many are unemployed, facing financial hardship? It can all be gone like that. So if our faith and our hope is in that stuff, we don't receive the blessing of God because we're trusting in that. That's what he's saying here. But the blessed man is the one that puts all of the weight of his confidence, his faith, his hope, his trust in the Lord. So here's the question we have to ask ourselves then. What is it that's keeping us from putting our faith in the Lord? I'll read you a story about Dr. Francis Collins. He's a medical doctor and a geneticist. He was appointed by President Bill Clinton to head the Human Genome Project. His team successfully decoded 3 billion genes of the human DNA. Collins spent much of his early life looking at Jesus as a fairy tale suitable only for bedtime stories. So you got the picture, really bright guy. His faith and his hope, his confidence is in himself, his brains, his brilliance. Jesus, it's a bedtime story. It's a fairy tale. But as his career evolved, he was deeply impacted by the faith he saw in some of his desperately ill patients. He researched history and was amazed at the evidence concerning Christ. Collins wondered how a rational scientist could believe in such difficult stuff, like the resurrection. He concluded, if Christ really was the Son of God, as he explicitly claimed, then surely, of all those who had ever walked the earth, he could suspend the laws of nature if he needed to, so to achieve a more important purpose. Ultimately, it wasn't the evidence that held him back, but his pride. Collins wrote, my desire to draw close to God was blocked by my own pride and sinfulness, which in turn, listen to this, which in turn was an inevitable consequence of my own selfish desire to be in control. Jeremiah said this. He said, look, the blessed man doesn't put his faith and his confidence in things that he can control. He puts all of his faith and his confidence in the Lord. And now he goes on in the text. So we've defined who the blessed man is, right? So now he goes on to describe the blessings that will flow to that man. I see a fivefold blessing of that person. I think all of us going through this COVID thing want this blessing. So listen to it. The first blessing says that he will be like a tree planted along a riverbank. You know what that speaks to me of? That speaks to me as having a constant source or supply for what I need to keep me going. Now, isn't it interesting? The psalmist in Psalm 1 said something very similar. Let me read you the text. You probably know it well. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. So the psalmist is saying basically the same thing that Jeremiah is saying, although the psalmist adds a few things that the blessed man needs to do to get the blessing of God. He adds, well, he has to walk in godly counsel, he has to have healthy relationships, he has to love God's word and meditate on it. But Jeremiah just puts it this way. He said, it's the guy who just puts the full weight of his trust on the Lord. But did you notice the result from both of them? The psalmist and Jeremiah, the result was this. The result is the same. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. If Jeremiah was speaking to us today, it would be like a beautiful, you know, green lawn with an irrigation system that whenever it gets dry, it gets turned on and fed. He's like a tree. Constant source of whatever it is that we need to get us through. I was reminded of this psalm because this is what I see in the text in Jeremiah. But this psalm in Psalm 46, it says, God is our help. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. I love that word, Selah. S-E-L-A-H. It means to pause and refrain. It means to think about it. So let's think about this for a minute. God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. In other words, we're like that tree planted by streams of water that always have that source. We always have God, no matter what happens. If there's no one else that can help us, we always have God. We're like that tree right by that stream. We always have God to call on. I don't know if you saw this video. We're going to try to show it to you. But it's of a COVID patient in Northern Ireland. And you know they can't have visitors now in the hospital, so he's all alone in his room. Things aren't going well, and he cries out to the Lord. Probably a lot of you have seen it. It's been all over Facebook, but if you're not on Facebook, you probably haven't seen it. I'm going to try to show that video to you now. So I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, that clip before. There's some people here in this room, some of the workers that have helped set up, that hadn't seen it, and they're weeping having watched that. And that's the effect I wanted that to have. Because that man in that hospital room, he had nowhere else, nobody to turn to except for God. But that man in that room is the blessed man that Jeremiah is talking about. He's the one that's by the streams of water that has that stream to tap into whenever, like the psalmist said, God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. And how about the fact that cleaner heard from God? that not only did he minister, but he heard from God. This guy prays, I want two things. What are the chances that the two things that the guy prays for, the cleaner shows up with? Praise be to God. So the blessed man, okay? The blessed man is the one who puts all of his weight, his faith, his hope, his trust in the Lord. And the result of that is he's like a tree planted by streams of living water. The second blessing is this. It says that his roots go deep. Again, the Living Bible here, it says he's like a tree planted along a riverbank with its roots reaching deep into the water. Now, this speaks to me, obviously, of nourishment, which we just talked about, but it also speaks about stability. Because when the roots go deep, then when the winds and the rains come, the tree can stand. So its roots go deep. A couple of years ago, we had a major storm here, and I have these huge oak trees in my backyard, this 60-foot oak tree relatively near my house. But when the winds came, it couldn't stand. Here's this mighty oak tree, couldn't stand. So the winds came, the storm came, the whole tree was uprooted. It came down on my garage. But here's what we noticed. This 60-foot mighty oak tree, the roots only went that deep because it was right on top of a rock. Its roots didn't go deep, so it couldn't stand when the winds and the rains came. Jeremiah says the blessed man, the man who puts his hope and faith in God, will be constantly nourished and not easily moved by the storms that come. He will not be moved. I love what the psalmist said. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be moved. Again, in Psalm 62, it says, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. The Old English version of the Bible says, I will not be moved. In Proverbs, it says this, a man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. You know what the Old English version says? The righteous cannot be moved. Reminds me of a song we used to sing as a kid. So are you getting the picture with me? He's by the river. He's got constant nourishment, but his roots go deep, so he has stability. When hard times come, when trials come, when storms come, he cannot be moved. Reminds me of a song we used to sing in my house and in church when I was a little kid. It says, I will not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I will not be moved. So that is the picture of the blessed man, that when hard times come, he is not going to be moved. Think with me in scripture of people that were not moved by their circumstances. How about David when he faced Goliath? He wasn't moved by the size of Goliath. Why? Because he knew he had God on my side. He said, God delivered me from the bear and the lion. Who are you? How about the three Hebrew children when they were told they had to bow down before the golden statue? Do you remember what they said? They said, we're not going to do it. I'll read you the text. It says in Daniel chapter 3, if we're thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. So they weren't moved by circumstances. I pray that during this time, that we know that God is our constant source and that we will not be moved by this situation because we know that our faith and our hope is in God. Third thing it says there is it says that there'll be no fear. Listen to this. It says he'll be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. So Jeremiah is saying that the man who has put his hope and faith in the Lord, he doesn't have to fear. I love what Isaiah the prophet said. Sounds very similar. He said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we don't need to fear. Why? Because God is with us. He's established a relationship with us. He's our God, and he gives us the assurance of his strength all through Scripture. All through Scripture, we see God telling his people, don't be afraid because I am with you. You might remember Joshua, that Moses had died. Moses was the leader, and Joshua comes on the scene, and now he is called to lead the people into the promised land. But here's the problem. There are still fortified cities in that land. There are still giants in the land. Nothing's changed. But notice what God told Jeremiah. He told him, he said, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? Because I am with you. So Jeremiah is painting the picture of the blessed man. I love this text. I hope you love it as much as I do. I love it. God is his constant source. And now he says, look it, you don't have to fear because your roots are going deep into God. Fourth thing it says. It says that he doesn't have to be worried in long periods of drought. So I think everyone has asked this question. I know I have. Everyone has asked the question, how long is this going to last? How long will we be in quarantine? Are we really going to have to put up with this for many more weeks? How long is this thing going to last? Sometimes I feel like the psalmist. Over and over again, he said this. He said, I'll read you a couple of psalms. In Psalm 6, it says, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. And then he says, how long, O Lord? How long? How many of you have said, how long, O Lord? So in Psalm 13, here's what it says. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long, O Lord? So this phrase, how long, O Lord, is repeated in at least 8 psalms. But did you hear what Jeremiah said? The blessed man who puts his faith and hope in the Lord will not have to worry. Not just in periods of drought, but did you notice what it said in the version we read? In periods of long drought. So let us put our faith and hope in God so that during this period of what seems like a long drought, we will not have to worry. I read this week that anti-anxiety meds prescriptions are up 35% over just the last couple of months. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. If you need that, please take it. On your doctor's advice, take it. Listen, if you have a toothache, you're going to take an aspirin for it. So if anxiety is a problem for you, then by all means. But let's listen to the words of Jesus and the words of Jeremiah. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why worry about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. See how they grow. Yet they don't worry. They don't toil or labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough worry on its own. So here's the David Wilson authorized paraphrase of what Jesus just said. Don't worry, God knows what we need, and he will take care of us. You that are living around where I am, have you noticed that things are beginning to pop up out of the ground? I noticed in my backyard that my hostas are starting to pop up through the ground. I had to chase the deer away the other morning because they were eating the nubs of my hostas that are popping up through the ground. If you know anything about me, you know that I only plant things that are virtually indestructible. Hostas, one of them, so I put them in the ground. I just throw them in the ground, put some dirt over it. If they grow, they grow. Sure enough, every year, they just keep coming back. I have these other lilies that just start popping up every year. So Jesus is saying, look at them. They don't worry. They weren't worried all winter whether, you know, springtime was going to come and whether they were going to be able to pop up. And here they are popping up. So here's my paraphrase. Don't worry. Jesus knows what we need. God knows what we need, and he will take care of us. And by the way, don't project too far into the future. because we don't know what the future holds. Let's just worry about today. Let's just think about today and leave the future to God and in his hands. That's my paraphrase. So it says the fourth blessing then is that man does not have to worry even in long periods of drought. Fifthly, the last one is this. It says its leaves stay green and keeps on producing fruit. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. I have to read you the footnote from my Bible on that verse, that portion. In times of trouble, those who trust in human beings will be impoverished and spiritually weak, so they will have no strength to draw on. But those who trust in the Lord will have abundant strength, not only for their own needs, but even for the needs of others. Are you satisfied with being unfruitful, or do you, like a well-watered tree, have strength for times of crisis and even some to share as you bear fruit for the Lord? I want to be that blessed person that even in hard times, I'm still bearing fruit. Leaves are still green, still bearing fruit. I have some friends that they have a motto for their family. Their family motto is this: blessed to be a blessing. They realize that God has blessed them, and now they want to use that blessing to be a blessing to others. I thought of them this week when I read this verse in Jeremiah. It's painting a picture of the blessed man who, because they have put their faith and hope and confidence in the Lord, are able to bless others. I want to be that kind of blessed man. So here's the summary. We have him as our constant source. When we have nowhere else to turn, we always have God, like the man in the hospital room cried out to God. Our roots are clinging to him so we don't have to be moved by the storms, even this storm. We don't have to fear even in times of trouble. We don't have to worry even in long periods of drought. And that even when hard times come, we can still be fruitful, like the cleaner in the hospital room. Fruitful. I'm sure it's not easy cleaning hospital rooms of COVID patients. But in the midst of it, look at the amazing blessing he was to that man. Blessed to be a blessing. It has brought me such joy to see our church in action. You know, I told you, I think a couple of weeks ago, the lady in our church got all of her neighbors together and they made masks for the hospital workers. This past week, the ladies in our church have been using our fellowship hall over here and some at home, and they've been making hospital gowns nicer than the ones that the nurses and doctors are wearing in the hospitals now. I've been in the hospital. I never had a gown that nice. Making them, just amazing. They're making bonnets for the hospital workers, head coverings. Others are giving to the benevolence fund. I mean, it's just been an absolute joy to see the church in action, blessed to be a blessing. So I want to close by reading this verse again before Julie comes to pray. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He would be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is my prayer for you and me this week, that we would have a blessed week, that we will know that God is our ever-present help, and that we don't have to be moved by this storm, and that we don't have to fear, and we don't have to worry, but can be fruitful in the midst of it. So my closing three words, or four words, would be this: have a blessed week. Julie, would you come?
Amen. It says in Romans 10:13 that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. That means you, that means me. That means that no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, if you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, you may be saved. And if that's you and you would like some more information on how you can become a Christ follower, then we encourage you to visit our website, our Facebook page, New Hope Noel, call our church office, and we will pray for you. We want you to know the depth of the love that Jesus has for you. And we would love to send you our daily devotional, The Word for Today. There's many great things in there about how you can come to know Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we have received in hearing it. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch every heart that hears it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.